It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
If you've been following along, we're in Acts chapter 7. And we've seen up to this point that the church had come under great persecution. This was the early church. And we've seen how that the apostles had been beaten, they'd been placed in jail, and they had been ridiculed. But thank God there were many who had gotten saved. And we see at least 8,000 people had been saved, and many more, according to what we've been studying. Now, we've come to Acts chapter 7, and we've been studying about how that Stephen, the first martyr of the church, had been persecuted. He had been brought before the council, and how that he had been preaching the word of God to these people. You see, Stephen took this opportunity to uplift the Lord, to let even those people who were ready to stone him, to let those people know that they too could be saved and on their way to heaven. I'd like to pick up with Acts chapter 7, verses 51 through 53 here, where Stephen continues to talk to these people and to preach to them. He didn't mince words. In Acts chapter 7, verse 51, it says, and this is Stephen speaking, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it." Well, we see here that Stephen is charging this council of resisting the Holy Spirit like their fathers did. Their fathers persecuted and killed the prophets, so they have killed the Just One. Of course, that's Jesus Christ. And they received the law, these people who were ready to stone Stephen, these Sadducees, Pharisees, and this council. They received the law, but they did not keep it. What was the reaction of this council to Stephen's words? And let me remind you that in many places, as he was preaching, he was quoting from the Old Testament. And this, those standing around, the Sadducees, Pharisees, and this council, they should have known what he was saying, because they were supposed to be smart and very up to date on what the law said. They knew it. Now, in Acts chapter 7, verse 54 through 58, we read this. When they, that's the council, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. This was not only the council, but people standing around. They were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. Well, they were cut to the heart, according to Acts chapter 7, verse 54. They gnashed on him with their teeth. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven. He saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he tells what he saw. He said, "I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Well, why is Jesus standing? He's otherwise described as sitting. And we read about this in Luke chapter 22 and Mark chapter 16 and several other verses. Why was he standing? Why was Jesus standing? Well, maybe it's just to welcome his first martyr home, and that would be Stephen. Well, in response to verses 55 through 56, the council did this. They cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears. They didn't want to hear what he was saying. They ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city. Acts chapter 7, we pick up once again with verse 58 of Acts chapter 7. It says, "And cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Isn't that wonderful? Now, I'm not saying it's wonderful that he was killed. I'm saying it's wonderful that in the sight of God, when a saint leaves this world in death, he views them and they simply fall asleep. And I believe they wake up in the arms of the Lord. Well, the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of Saul. Now, Saul consented to Stephen's death, and we're going to read this in just a few moments, according to Acts chapter 8 and verse 1. And Saul later led a great persecution against the church. If you read the book of Acts and studied the life of Saul, who actually became Paul, his name was changed, you'll know, you realize that he led great persecutions against the church. Well, they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God, according to Acts chapter 7, verses 59 and 60. He said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." This reminds me, of course, of our Savior. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 46, it says, when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. And then I see Stephen, as he said, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." And this once again reminds me of my Savior, Jesus Christ. He said in Luke 23 and verse 34, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Well, the Bible says, having said what he said, this is Stephen, after he said what he said, he fell asleep. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 2, "And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him." Well, Stephen's death was the first of many others who would give their lives for Jesus. And we read of Saul, and I've already mentioned that his name would be changed to Paul. He would later confess of other deaths and persecutions he was responsible for. In Acts chapter 22 and verse 4, it says, "And I," this is Paul or Saul, "I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering unto prisons both men and women." We'll study this further as we get into the book of Acts, how that God wondrously saved the man called Saul. He saved him. And this tells me that God can save anyone. And if you've never trusted him as your Savior, you too can know Jesus as your Savior. You too can be on your way to heaven. Then you too, one day, will fall asleep in the Lord. As we move on now, we see as we go into Acts chapter 8, we read in verse 1, "And Saul was consenting unto his death." That's unto the death of Stephen. "And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." The apostles stayed put. Well, in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, we see the persecuted church. And following the death of Stephen, there was a great persecution against the church at Jerusalem. And in Acts chapter 8, and verse 3, it says, "As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and howling men and women, committed them to prison." Well, we see prison for those who named Jesus Christ as Savior. It was no longer to remain safe in Jerusalem because men and women were being thrown into prison, according to Acts chapter 8 and verse 3. Jerusalem is left behind. Believers go to Judea and Samaria. And as the believers left the city of Jerusalem, what did they do? It says they went everywhere preaching the word. Acts chapter 8 and verse 4 says, "Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." Well, we read of a man in Acts chapter 8 and verse 5. We read of Philip, and he preaches in Samaria. Philip was one of the seven men chosen to help the widows, according to Acts chapter 6 and verse 5. And like Stephen, God also worked through Philip to perform some amazing miracles. See, the Jews hated the Samaritan people, and Philip was going there. It was a great insult to be called a Samaritan. In fact, the Lord's enemies called Jesus a Samaritan in Acts chapter 8 and verse 48. The Samaritans were a mixed race of people. They were half Jews and half Gentiles. And during the days of the kings of Israel, the city of Samaria was the capital of the northern kingdom, or the kingdom of the 10 tribes of Israel. Jerusalem was the capital of the southern kingdom, or the kingdom of Judah. Well, now, as we look on, we read about salvation for Africa, and we read about a person of importance. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 26, we want to move on in this chapter now, and we want to see how that there was a person of importance that met someone. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 and 27, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship." This was a very important man, and he was about to meet Philip. Now, once again, we see this Ethiopian, Ethiopia, Africa. And Ethiopia is the oldest independent country in northern Africa. And when we study the word Ethiopia, we see that it means burnt face, which indicates that the people from this African country of Ethiopia were dark face. What did Philip do? Philip preaches Jesus here. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 35, it says, "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus." In other words, he preached unto this Ethiopian Jesus Christ. Salvation comes to this man. Acts chapter 8 and verse 37 says, "And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." The Ethiopian had seen water, and Philip had talked to him about being baptized. And of course, this would be after salvation. The Ethiopian questioned him and said, "Well, here's some water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe," he answered and said, if you believe with all thine heart, in other words, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he's God, that he was crucified, buried, and resurrected, then you can be baptized. And what did the Ethiopian say? He answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Well, in Acts chapter 8 and verses 36 through to 39, it says, "And they went on their way. They come into a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Philip didn't stop preaching the word of God. He was caught away. He was going somewhere else to preach the word of God. Do you know Jesus today as your Savior? You need to trust him as that Ethiopian eunuch did. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is able to save you today. And he will save you if you're willing to turn to him and confess sin. "Lord, I confess I can't save myself. Please forgive me of sin. Come into my heart. For whosoever," the Bible says, "shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's you. If you've never trusted him, call upon him today.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.